CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Tuesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer, and pray you had a wonderful Veterans Day. And again, I want to just encourage you all to read your Bible every day. You know, the Bible says to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, not to be ashamed. And you know, in these days that we live in with so many different voices, we need to be very much aware of what God's Word says. Why? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And in a world today that doesn't believe that true is true, when relativism have now replaced facts, this is a dangerous place, not only for the world to be, but also for the churches to be. In other words, true is true if it's true to you. But your truth and your reality may not be mine. So everybody's definition of truth is based upon their own experience. Here's where the problems come in with that. It's a lie. You see, the Bible tells us what true is. And even Herod asked that question, or Pilate asked that question to Jesus. What is truth? Well, if he would have listened to what Jesus said, he would have known. And see, this is the great problem that we have right now in our society. Many of the liberal news medias are going off the air because they just lied to Americans too much before and during the elections. And finally, it catches up. Abraham Lincoln said, you can fool some of the people some of the time, and all of the people part of the time, but you're not going to fool everybody all of the time. And I believe our last election was a screaming statement concerning that. Some people said it was the revenge of America against the American news media. Well, I don't think it was just against the American news media, but I think it was against the whole way things were being done in our nation. And so we have to be aware in these days that we live in, living as Christians, we need to be salt and light. How will you know what salt and light is unless you read the Bible? And if you don't, then relativism will then determine what that is in your life. In other words, I think salt is embracing things that the Bible says are contrary to God's heart. See, this is why it's important that God defines us. Now, when we come to Christ, hey, we're a new creature in Him. I think it takes a little bit of time sometimes for God to change who we are inside. But if you're growing in the Lord, you're going to love the thing God loves and hate the things that God hates. I tell people everywhere, read Romans chapter 1. That'll give you a good starter, give you some training wheels to know again how God sees things currently in our world. Glad you've joined us today. And again, we set this time aside every weekday afternoon to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible. And I just want to encourage all of you to be about your Father's business. Joining me today, we have with us John Randall from Calvary Chapel, South OC, down by San Clemente, California. Hi, and welcome, John.
Mike, great to be with you once again here on this Tuesday, and thankful for God's grace upon us as a nation this last week, and a lot of answered prayers. I know for our fellowship, we spent 30 days leading up to the election day of fasting and praying, and oh, how encouraged we were to get the results, and thankful for even already things that are being put in motion, things that are being declared and that we can anticipate coming up in January. So very grateful for what the Lord has done. Of course, there's no perfect candidate, Mike. We didn't vote for a Messiah. We already have one. We have a Savior. His name is Jesus. But it is good to see the country. Really, I think we're on the precipice, falling off a cliff, and being able to just kind of turn away from that for this period of time is a real encouragement to so many of us.
Well, the path we were on was complete destruction. And that you say, oh, Mike, you're just, no. I'm basing what I'm telling you off of history. No nation in the history in the world existed without borders. Rome never was conquered. Its borders were overran. And it seems what was going on was deliberate. I thought it was interesting that most all the states that Kamala Harris won, most all of them, did not require any voter ID. Now, friends, this is a little concerning to me because, again, what's to stop any foreign power from flying a million people over here from a foreign country a week during voting season in America and changing our government without ever firing a shot? You see, any place that doesn't require voter ID is treason. And that's really what it is, friends. You don't know who's voting. And the problem is they can change the way you live your life. You see, when they don't pay taxes, they may be here illegally. They may be felons. They may be all kinds of things. These are the problems that America is up against. And we need to be aware of that in the days that we're in. Now, why are we concerned about that? Well, we don't want to talk about politics. We're just here for Jesus. Well, all I can tell you, all of you listening, I don't know what Bible people that say those kind of things are reading. All the way through the Bible, everybody who loved God, maybe not everybody, but a lot of people, were involved in changing or standing up for rights before governments. Moses stood before Pharaoh, the king of the world at that time, and said, "What you're doing is wrong. Let my people go." You find Elijah standing before Ahab and Jezebel concerning the prophets of Baal. You have Jeremiah standing up to the kings of the northern tribes of Israel. "What you're doing is wrong." Jesus calling Herod "that old fox." You find Paul demanding his rights when he was beaten, an uncondemned Roman. All the way through the Bible. So people that are saying these things, either one, are in ignorance, or two, they've never read the Bible. Or maybe we'll add a third one, they have an agenda. And friends, probably not good. You know, John, California is still not counting the votes on the House. I'm just looking at the latest statistics right here. We are 1 week out right now from the election. And in many places, as an example, in California, only 62% of the votes are counted. Now, friends, I got to tell you, the longer this kind of stuff goes on, it concerns me, because this is where I believe when the cat's away, the mice eat the cheese. And why can't you publish the votes you have? Or are they manufacturing them still? Things that make you go, John, you're in this state, tell us.
Yeah, there's a lot to be grateful for. You know, I think if we're just looking at the map, you know, they colored it all blue, but when you get down to it, we actually flipped. There were some counties that flipped red, and I think that was encouraging. California was more red this time around than it was the time before. And so for me, I find that encouraging. It's these larger cities, you know, San Francisco and all these places like that, that still get kind of lean that way, blue and whatever. But we, you know, I'm excited about the future. I think there's a lot of good things on the horizon for us. And, you know, obviously, Mike, we know this. Our main thing and will always be to preach the gospel, to continue to proclaim Jesus, because that's what the world needs. Not only does America need the gospel, but the world. Jesus came to save the world. We just, like you always say, Mike, you always tell us, let's be about our Father's business, and that is what we're to be doing. So it's a good reminder.
Yeah, just a couple of things. I would just remind everybody, continue to pray. We know the American news media is rotten to the core. Now, again, many of them are going out of business. They just showed their colors too much. But when I see these different articles that are written by the liberal left, you know, that Trump's going to arrest all the LGBT gang and all this crazy stuff. You have to realize that they're liars. They've been liars. And this is what their MO is. And so you just have to be aware of that. And basically, I've told people concerning the majority of the American news media, if their lips are moving, they're probably lying. We have to be very much aware of that. And I don't believe that they're completely done yet. And they've already started in on this. And so we just have to be aware of what we're in and we're up against as far as what truth is. Now, again, people say, what difference does it really make? Do you really want laws that allow people to chop up your children in the name of transgenderism and call this okay. You see, these things that these parties stand for are very, very devastating for people, not only now, but these poor kids 25 years from now. They're never going to have kids. They've been all chopped up. And instead of government protecting kids, they're encouraging the slaughter of these poor kids' gender even after they're born. No, there's a lot of things that go far beyond that. Well, you know, do we help the poor? Do we help the immigrant? Do we? No, they're chopping up children. And I believe, again, what voice do they have except ours? The slaughter of the unborn continues on. You know, we wouldn't have to be bringing people from foreign countries into our land for the workforce if we wouldn't have killed the 90 million babies that have been aborted in America over the last 50 years. So when you really look at this, you begin to realize that our policies have led to most of our problems. Do you realize, America, that our current administration spent $2 trillion since January? $2 trillion, more than any other president in the history of America, and our economy is still a train wreck. So when you look at this, you realize that we've got major issues. And I don't think this particular party is going to go away quietly. And certainly we have to be praying for our president. We need to pray for those that are leaving the office too, that they'll find Christ. I mean, God loves Democrats and Republicans and independents. He loves everybody if they would just turn to him and love him. 8888, ask CSN's the number to call. Got a question, maybe reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand. Hey, that's why we're here for you. And we'll try to tell you what the Bible says, not what a church denomination says. What does the Bible say about that topic in its fullness? So important. Let's go to Dan, Pennsylvania. Hi, welcome.
Good evening. How you doing?
Good. How may we help?
Yes, I work a part-time job. I work weekends, Saturday and Sunday, from 7 p.m. till 7 a.m. So when I get off my shift at 7 a.m. Sunday, I have to turn around and go back to work 7 p.m. Sunday night. And, well, I have to sleep.
Yeah, you do. So we all do.
We're not going to fellowship on Sunday. We're going to make Wednesday our Sunday. We have at our fellowship, we have Wednesday night prayer meeting, and so we're going to make Wednesday our Sunday. And then, as for what I'm going to miss is when the corporate body of Christ takes communion together. Would it be permissible for my wife and I just to take communion in our home?
Absolutely. The Bible said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And, you know, you might go and talk to your pastor about this very problem, because I'm sure you're not the only one that has this issue that have to work on Sunday. And so maybe by offering communion on that Wednesday night service might be a really nice thing to reach out to those, because you got to remember, you have people in the medical field, law enforcement, fire departments, all these different things that may have to work on Sunday, and to provide for them a means by which they can have communion as well. I think that would be a great suggestion, Dan, to suggest to your pastor. John, your thoughts?
Well, Dan, I just want to begin by saying I'm grateful that you're making it a priority to take communion, and that
Amen.
It's important to you, and that you're also leading your wife. I think, to me, that speaks volumes. And I would say that, you know, as Jesus said, as often as you do, whether that's in your home or it's with the body of Christ, it is nice. I think it is a blessing when you are able to take it with the corporate body, but that's not the only time that you could take it, because in actuality, you and your wife are the body of Christ as well. But I understand the blessing of taking it with other believers, and the unity that we experience in that time of, you know, what you're taking, I'm receiving, and so forth. And there's just a real beautiful time for us. You know, it's on Sunday mornings once a month, but we also used to do it on Wednesday nights, the first Wednesday of the month, but we switched it to Sunday because there was a lot of people that weren't coming Wednesday. So, you know, I like Mike's suggestion, maybe just talking to the pastor. And if you were in our fellowship and you came and said, "Hey, John, this is," and I would say, "Oh, well, let me, you know, let me think about that. Let's pray about that." But, again, important to take communion because it constantly, well, two things, Dan, and I know you know this, it reminds us of the first coming of the Lord. But Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, he said, every time you do this, you do it until he comes again. It reminds us also that he's coming again. And so it's important that we take communion.
Amen. So I hope that helps, Dan.
Yes, thank you so very much. And I praise God for your program.
Well, God is good and he gets the glory. And, you know, we just want to see people come to Christ. We don't have an axe to grind. We don't have anything. You know, we do our very best. At least I do. And my guess, we do our very best to tell people the truth. And sometimes it's an inconvenient truth. In other words, sometimes people don't want to hear that, but nevertheless, true is true. And you know, if you base your life on the Bible, you're always going to know God's heart. And I believe that's so important because people's opinion in society changes. What might be in vogue this year may not be in vogue next year. What is the acceptable political norm 1 year may not be the next year, but God's word remains constant. And as I've said many times, God's word, the Bible, the anvil, has worn out many hammers. God bless you. Stay in line if you like. Send you out some books, some DVDs. God bless you. 8888. Ask CSN's number to call. Let's go to Mike, Las Vegas. Hi, welcome.
I've been told that angels are different from humans because they don't have free will. But didn't Lucifer turn into Satan by his free will?
I have never heard that angels do not have free will. That is something that if they're saying, I don't know where they're getting it from. Because as you said, it's very clear Lucifer rebelled against God. Your thoughts, John?
You know, the two places where we get a little bit of insight as to what happened to Lucifer before he became Satan is found in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, and then also in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 12 through 18. And we don't exactly know all the details about what happened, Mike, before all this took place. We just know that some point in eternity past that Lucifer, who was a created being, a created angel, seems to have had something to do with the worship in heaven. He wanted to be worshiped like God and said that he would be like the Most High and he would be elevated. And he was filled with pride. And thus, as a result, he was removed and became, and with him took a third of the angels, and he became what he is now, Satan, the deceiver, the accuser of the brethren, the angel of light, the dragon. And I think there's only so much we know, but I do believe in that case, obviously free will was manifested. He had an opportunity to worship God or to become prideful. But there's a lot about what happened back then that we're not clear. We just know that he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and we need to be guarded and really aware and not ignorant, the Bible says, of the devil's devices. But it's a very interesting question. We only have a little bit of information and not all that took place beforehand.
So I hope that helps.
Yeah, can I have one more?
Sure.
Yeah, okay. It really amazes me. I mean, Lucifer gave that up. I mean, everything was so perfect. It's the same thing when we get into the millennial reign. Everything is going to be so perfect, but at the end of the millennial reign, Satan is loosed and people still follow him. That just amazes me.
Well, that shows you the strength of the old sin nature. And I believe this is why God does the thousand-year reign. Is because it proves once and for all, it's not your background, it's not how you were raised. Well, somebody looked at you cross-eyed when you were a child and turned you into a serial killer and all these different things that oftentimes we find our psychology gurus out there saying, well, this is the reason why you're the way you are is because you were raised in a negative, you know, environment, and this is why. No, everybody's going to be raised in a perfect environment with perfect food, perfect government, perfect ecosystem, perfect everything. And in all that, they still rebel against God. Why is it? The heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? And God proves to all of humanity once and for all for 1,000 years that man needs a savior. And I really believe that is part, in part, why we have the millennial reign of Christ. You know, years ago, Charlie Manson, the guy that killed Sharon Tate, and in killing Sharon Tate was going to start a race war, and the blacks were going to kill the whites were going to kill the blacks. And then Charlie Manson would come out of the desert out by Mojave and down and set up his millennial reign where his children that he had actually abducted from many of his followers. I happen to know one of the girls, Onya Sipe, who was one of them that had her child taken by Charlie and put in boxes out in the Mojave Desert. They've never heard the word no. They've never heard anything negative. And now these children were going to come and propagate the world and, you know, everything is no. Very clearly, we know that that was kooky. But however, here's where the nutsy part comes. That crazy philosophy has been adopted by so many of our colleges in America. Well, the reason you're negative is because you've had negative things happen to you. No, the Bible says we sin not to make us sinners. We sin and it proves what we are. And I believe that's a very important part to understand. And God proves it, I believe, in that thousand-year reign. And of course, when Satan saw all that God had made, everything, and then chose to rebel against the one who created everything, really not only shows you free will, but it also shows you the insanity of pride. The Bible says in Isaiah 14 that he was perfect in all of his ways until pride entered his heart. And the Bible says that pride is the root of every sin. So when we understand that man entering into the same deception that Lucifer entered into finds the same result and the same punishment unless he's born again. Mike, stay in line if you like, and we'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, and I think you'll enjoy that, okay?
Thank you much. I appreciate you guys.
Mike, if you need us, we're here for you. God bless you, and thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Julia, Las Vegas as well. Hi, and welcome.
Hello. Yes,
how may we?
I just had a question. Not only Trump missed the bullet, but America missed the bullet, and the American people chose who they would like to see run this country. And I was wondering why we have to wait until January to put him in office because of the treasonous actions that this government has put upon our people. Why can't they have the ones that are in there now pulled out because of treason and put Trump right in there?
Well, you've got, you know, it's just the way the law set up that I think it's January 20th is when the new president gets sworn in. And I think that this is what we just have to wait for. Of course, there are literally tens of thousands of illegals lining the border, getting ready to crash the gate right now. I'm surprised the people in these different states don't go down and stop it. Now, I'm not against immigration. Trump's not against immigration. His wife is of foreign descent. My great grandparents were. We're just saying, do it legally. Be vetted. We don't want to be letting the problems that we have. We've all seen the criminal behavior going on. We've all seen the literally billions and billions of dollars it takes to take care of overwhelming the American system. I genuinely believe that our economic system has been artificially propped up. Now, I'm not just saying these things to be talking through a hat. I'm telling you the truth. The national oil reserves, which are only to be used during a time of warfare, Joe Biden tapped into to keep gasoline prices artificially low for, I believe, the election. And of course, we find the Fed dropping interest rates artificially low for this time, because here's the reason why. Even though you have the Feds dropping the interest rate, inflation is still going on, everyone. Now, they brag. See, this is the deception of the American news media. Well, inflation is only at 3%. 3% on top of 20%. prices never came down. No, it's just that it's that they slowed it down. But as long as you're spending trillions of dollars like it's water, it devalues everybody's money. That's just the way it works. And so when we understand what is really going on here, America has been without any leadership for a long time. And I believe the economy was artificially propped up until Kamala would have been sworn into office and then let it collapse. And as America collapses under the weight of all the immigration, all the money spent, all the free giveaway programs, then out of the ashes will come the new communist America. And this is what I believe they dreamed of. They would even say things like, in 10 years, you will own nothing and be happy. That's right out of Karl Marx's book. I mean, this is where the government will disperse to everybody as they will, not according to your work. And so I believe that we're still headed, everybody's still headed for this crash that's going to happen. Now, they're not going to do it while Joe is in office, but I look for a major correction here probably the first few months into Trump's administration. Elon Musk, Forbes, all these different magazines are saying we are headed for a crash as bad as 1929. Why is that? Because you can't be $36 trillion in debt and not mess up your country. Now, the good news is we've got some business people that are running the country now rather than people with a free giveaway program. That's going to make a lot of difference. But we have to understand really what we're up against here, because the debt is still there. Trump is inheriting the worst debt in the history of America, $36 trillion. And I'll tell you something, if he can fix that, then I'll tell you, that's going to be a divine miracle. Hey, everybody, we're coming up on a break. We don't want you to go away. We're going to have a whole lot more right after this. We'll be right back.
Because of your generosity, over 300,000 babies have been saved at Preborn Network clinics.
That ultrasound changed everything for me. It really did. That made it all worthwhile to know that I was going to have a little blessing. And when she got here, it was just, oh my gosh.
Families, small groups, and churches across the nation are joining forces to help protect the preborn. Together, we can stand for the preborn by sharing heartbeats. Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a Preborn Network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 77,000 women have come to know Christ. To find out more about Preborn's life-saving work, visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. Or call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. All gifts are tax deductible.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people, obviously. But what's more, MediShare members like it a lot. Their satisfaction rate is 98%. Imagine that. And MediShare is a proven thing, too, for over 30 years. It's a Christian community of hundreds of thousands of people now. And here's the thing. If you join before November 15th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee, so you save even more right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call and you'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is November 15th, so call now. You'll save even more. Here's the number. 855-91-BIBLE. That's 855-91-BIBLE. 855-91-BIBLE.
We want to welcome you back to part two of Every Man Answered here on this Tuesday afternoon with John Randall from Calvary Chapel South OC down by San Clemente. I'm your host, Mike Kessler. And again, if you got a Bible question you'd like to ask us, hey, that's why we're here. And again, I don't want to belabor the point that John, myself, we're not political commentators. This is just things that we see that unfortunately for most of the American news media, are not telling people. And this is a tragedy because, again, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, whether you're looking at Agabus or you're looking at one of the Old Testament prophets, they would let people know what was going to happen. And I realize that these are things that are sometimes a little sad to hear, but nevertheless, we need to be aware that there is a real battle that is going on. Again, when Nikita Khrushchev said in 1957, "We will bury you," speaking of the United States, as they began to infiltrate our schools, our local city governments, our colleges, our seminaries, with this socialistic idea of really destroying our country, I believe these things are still going on today. And so I believe that this is why it's important that we, and they said, the Communist Party, Stalin said, if we can destroy nationalism in America, in other words, we're patriotic, and right now you have people burning flags and all this stuff at the college campuses, if we can destroy their faith in God, because again, the government wants to take the place of God in a socialistic society. These are things that are necessary for people to and cause division within the nation. So divisiveness. You hear even ex-President Obama. I listened to his speech. It was one of the most racist speeches I've ever heard. And you're not voting for a person because of what they stand for. You're voting for a person because of their color. That's not right. And so when we look at this, I believe we have to understand the time we're in and how important every Christian is to let your light shine, not to become a Republican or a Democrat, but to point people to Jesus. Now, here's something else. And John, I want you to weigh in on this. We're going to go back to the phones again. If you got a Bible question, 8888, ask CSN's the number to call. But John, you know, we've got Thanksgiving here in a couple of weeks. And you know, there's going to be a lot of talk over the turkey of who did you vote for. And, you know, I really believe we need to be careful of getting into Trump-Harris discussions over Thanksgiving. And for us as Christians to redirect it to Jesus. It doesn't matter who's in the White House. Someday you're going to die. Where are you going when you're dead? Your thoughts.
Yeah, I think all that's going on there in it is secondary to the main thing. Because, listen, I've said it before, there's a lot of conservative people who are not in heaven today. And, we need to be born again. And that is the message of the church. Granted, we weigh in on cultural things, on moral issues. That's a responsibility that we use the word of God appropriately. But our main thing is to lead people to Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean we forfeit our responsibility as citizens of America, but ultimately we're citizens of heaven. There's a kingdom that's going to last forever, and it's the kingdom of God. And so I think we just have to keep, it's a great way to keep that balance. And that's really the goal. The main thing is the main thing, and that's Jesus. Always will be, always is. He is the main thing.
Amen. So again, being about our Father's business, so important. Again, that number to call, you got a Bible question, 8888, ask CSN. Let's go to Albert, Morro Bay, California. Hi and welcome.
Hello, let me just turn this up. Okay, so I just kind of got a comment, and it's kind of about that election thing again. And I think that Jay Sekulow and the Republican Party, who's really needs to be in there with what's going on right now, because it looks like they're slow dragging to try to either get the popular vote or get it closer. There's no question about that, because they were trying to get rid of the electorals. And Trump, they still don't have him that's not even settled yet with all the electorals he should have. And then the House and the Senate, the same thing. They're trying to get that House where it's so close, maybe one vote or even take it. And even the Senate's not settled. There's still 20 races or more on both sides that are not settled yet, and that's ridiculous.
Well, no, and this is, you know, like I say, the more time that goes by, the more window for cheating is there. You know, I mean, this is just the way it is, because they can, oh, look, we found another sack of ballots, you know, that we just made last night. Would they do such a thing as that? Well, California's already been caught doing that. And again, Brad Dacus, who's with us on Friday, knows that there was one House seat in California where they had over 300 ballots. They called the people on these ballots. They said they never got their ballot and they never voted, but yet it showed that they did vote. Signatures were forged. And by recounting the ballots that were actually legitimate, the Democrat lost and the Republican was then put in his place. Now, this is fact. We've talked about it before. People saying, oh, the elections aren't rigged. I believe they are. And again, anytime any state says, no, it's illegal for you to ask for ID when a person votes, that's really treasonous. Because again, anything, anyone, you know, well, my goldfish vote, you know. So, John, your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't have your goldfish vote for you. That's definitely unacceptable. You can't do that. That can't be right. Don't do that.
Blub, blub. Yes. So, hope that helps, Albert.
Yeah, and remember Warlock last time in Georgia and that other state that they snuck in there to get the Senate.
Well, there's always stuff going on, and like I say, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. That's the way we have to be. Hope that helps, Albert. Stay in line. Send you out some books, some DVDs. Let's go to Valen in South Dakota. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, my question is, I have a super hard time reading my Bible every day or staying consistent in it. The question is, how is it so hard to completely sell out for Jesus?
Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's really the spiritual warfare that goes on in every believer. John, your thoughts?
Yeah, I appreciate the honesty in the question. Valen, I appreciate you sharing that. I do believe that it's a spiritual battle. And when you want to walk with the Lord, you have an enemy that's opposed to you. You know, the Bible says that we battle the world, system, the flesh, our own flesh, and the devil. And they all work in concert with one another to try to disrupt the work that God wants to do in us in and through his spirit. But this is a relationship. And so in order to grow in a relationship, you make it a priority. You know, I always tell people when it comes to reading the Word of God daily, it's like water to a tree. It's like it's spiritual food to your soul, as you would eat food on a regular basis to sustain you, to strengthen you physically. So the Word of God is to us, spiritually speaking. You can only go so long without the spiritual nourishment of the Word of God before you just begin to dry up. And so, you know, Valen, I'd encourage you to stay with it, to persevere, to continue to grow in your walk with the Lord, to lay aside anything in your life that would hinder. By the way, there's things that actually hinder our relationship with the Lord, such as sin, such as pursuing the flesh. These things will sap any desire and motivation to walk with Jesus. And so that's important for us as believers too, to, as the writer of Hebrews says, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you so that we can run the race with endurance. So these are things to consider, but man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I'd encourage you, brother, keep reading through the Bible, keep studying God's word, keep being in fellowship, keep being in prayer. Don't let up on those things. Those are the things that are going to help you grow as a man of God.
And when you read, I really believe that what really helps is to pray and say, Lord, open my eyes as I read these words. Now, I understand. See, when the Hebrews would read the Bible, they would read it three ways. One, obviously, what is it saying? Number two, what is the spiritual application, maybe for my life, a situation in my life that I need to apply these principles to? And the third was prophetic. What could this mean in the future? In other words, if ingested, in other words, God's word becomes part of us, as the Bible, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. When you eat bread, it becomes part of you. The idea here is that God becomes part of us. What will be the long-term effect of God's word in my life? In other words, I'm reading and I come across something, as an example, just 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and it talks about fornicators as an example. And I'm shacking up with my girlfriend. And I all of a sudden I think, well, gee, you know, I see what it says. I see the spiritual application because we're called to be pure. What's the future? It says they will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Ooh, I need to repent. So I believe when we read, you want to look at three things. Number one, what it does is it makes the word of God come alive. Number two, it injects you into the scripture. Whenever I read the Bible, I always like to find myself in scripture. Where do I fit into this? How is it ministering to me? And then as it draws us closer to the Lord, it helps me also minister to others. And I believe that's why when our spiritual battery is charged up, we can actually go out and minister to people. I believe it's so important. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, that helps a lot. Thank you, guys.
God bless you. Stay online. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs, a little book called Time to Grow you might really enjoy. 8888. Ask CSN's number call if you want to be part of the program today. And we have Ruth on the line, Lancaster, California.
Hello?
Hi, welcome. Yes, you're on
Thank
the air.
You. I'm really concerned about Mike Garcia getting undermined again, because I heard on the secular channel that he's already conceded the race for the Republican position in the House.
Well, I'm not familiar with that particular race. And again, I don't know, you know, I think they have these different areas where they know, you know, basically which way they're going to vote. And some of them declare winners and all. But your thoughts?
Yeah, it's a battle. You know, I think it looks like he has conceded, and it's unfortunate. You'd hate to see that. I hope that they're able to maintain the House and the majority. That's the good news. The good news is, just to kind of wrap the political side up here today, that we have a president, we have the House, the Senate, a Supreme Court. We've got the popular vote. We have the electoral vote. I mean, this was a landslide. It was too, as they say, too big to rig. And so we praise God for it. So it's awesome. I'm grateful. And what's God's plan for Mike Garcia? I don't know. But it looks like he has lost that race. You know, California needs a lot of work, obviously. And Ruth, and we just got to keep praying, keep doing our part. And you know, it's a game of inches. You know, we're in for the long haul. We just got to keep being a light here in this state. And you know, God's in control. He's on the throne. And so you know, we just keep praying for those that haven't yet been voted in, and see what happens.
Yeah, we just need to pray. And like I say, wise as serpents, harmless as doves. This is, you know, one of the things that I believe is so important in the world today. Again, no matter who's in the White House, we are still Christians. It doesn't matter your state, local, whatever, we're still Christians. Now, our ability to share the gospel may be harder with certain parties in power. But at the same time, it didn't stop the early church. You know, persecution, the church was growing even as they were feeding 6 million Christians to the lions. The church kept growing. And I believe this is where the devil figured out, hey, if you can't beat them, join them. And I believe this is where the watering down of the gospel came in, when realizing that putting Christians to death was not going to stop them from their faith in Christ. And so when we look at the history of the church, we realize the best way to knock the church off is to dilute it. And this is why Paul writes those letters, and others in the Bible wrote the letters, to cause people to continue to contend earnestly for the faith, because there is such a desire in the underworld. If you can't beat them, then make it all inclusive. Well, how dare you say anything about sin, because we're to love one another. And so we have these problems that come in this way. Your thoughts, John?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, we just have a responsibility to be light in and salt and light. That is the goal. And again, I just can't emphasize it enough. I you know, Jesus came to save the whole world, and that includes America, but he wants people to be saved. And I think we just need to keep on living for the Lord, keep putting Jesus first, keep being the church. This is an opportunity for us to really use this door, this window that God's opened to really evangelize. And this is important for us. And I hope the church sees that this is more than just about economics and whatever. I mean, this is about the protection of the preborn. This is about the education system. This is about preserving marriage. This is about protecting little children. And all of this is a great opportunity for us, and ultimately to get the gospel out. And that's what we need to be doing. That's what Jesus says. The last thing he told us, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's what we're to be doing as a church. So we definitely don't want to lose sight of that in this season that we're in.
Amen. So, Ruth, I hope that helps. And again, just pray and say, Lord, you know, it doesn't matter on the peripherals around us. Now, yes, it does in a way, in that we vote and we're to be, Jesus said, to render what's to Caesar's Caesar, to God what's God's. So that doesn't mean we just be like some of these cults that just say, well, we don't get involved with anything. Because as I shared earlier in the program, all the way through the Bible, people who love God were involved in politics. Again, Moses standing before Pharaoh, the king of the world, saying, what you're doing is wrong. And we find Elijah doing the same thing with Ahab and Jezebel. All the way through the Bible, you see people making a stand for what's right. John the Baptist in the New Testament, looking at Herod, saying to him, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. What did they do to John? Oh, thank you so much, John, for that enlightening sermon. We'll repent immediately. No, they didn't do that. They threw him in prison and eventually cut off his head. See, whatever they do to us does not change truth. And so popularizing truth is a very dangerous thing. Again, going back to relativism, if it's true, it's true to you. Well, that may not be truth. In fact, the Bible says in the last days, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end, there's destruction. In the last days, they'll heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know, today in the church, you don't hear a message of denial. It's come to Jesus and be wealthy. Whatever you want, use your magic faith words and whammo, it's all yours, baby. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. That is not what Jesus taught. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So often we always think, oh, it's my will. God is my Santa Claus, and man, I'm going to use my magic faith words, and I'm going to get what I want. Well, that's not in the Bible. And when the Bible, when Jesus says, you can ask whatever you want, and I'll do it for you in my name, that's according to God's will, not according to mine. So being about our Father's business, so important. Ruth, I hope that helps.
Well, it's the wrong gospel that's being upheld by these Spanish-speaking churches.
Well, it's not just Spanish-speaking. Boy, I'll tell you, it's everywhere, and we need to be aware of it. Because, again, this idea that God is my puppet and he'll do what I want. Ruth, stay on the line. Send you out some books, some DVDs, a little book called Time to Grow. I think you'll really enjoy. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. Let's go to Michael in Hawaii. Aloha.
Aloha, this is Mike Lavatai, Pastor John, Pastor Mike, appreciate you guys. I'm prepping a message this week and just had a question on Matthew 13, 44 to 46. Okay. The commentaries are kind of split. And I was watching Pastor Chuck as well as Chuck Missler, and they kind of seem to have changed later in their ministry to this is Jesus, the treasure is Israel, the pearl is the church. And there's definitely commentaries on both sides. So I just want to get your perspective on that.
I believe that, again, Jesus is the one that sold all. He gave up all of heaven to redeem us. And I believe we are the pearl of great price. Because every one of us was up to our neck in dirt. And it was Jesus that redeemed us. By nature, I'm not redeemable by myself. I can't save myself. I believe this is a work of God. Your thoughts, John.
Yeah, I have taught. And first of all, a lot to you, Michael. It's so great to hear from you, brother. Really appreciate
Amen,
you.
Amen, by the way.
And yes. Love your family. And I've taught this passage many times through the years. And I think when it comes to the parables, there are moments, for example, in the parable of the sower at the beginning of this particular chapter where Jesus will tell us a parable. He even gives us the purpose of the parable. And then there are moments when he tells us what the parable means. He will say, this represents that. For example, the parable of the sower, we know that the seed represents the word of God. And so he gives us insight as to what these things mean. But then there are other times when you read the parables and he doesn't tell us exactly what it means. And I think there is, when studying the parables, there's a great deal of humility that's needed because you don't, I think there's different angles to look at it. For example, like Mike said, I love the fact that the Lord considers us to be a treasure, that he would leave everything in order to secure us. And I've heard it taught that way. I've taught it that way and or the pearl of great price as well. But then I've also heard it taught the other way, that there's another way to consider this, that when we find out what we have in Jesus, we, like the disciples, we leave things behind. He is the treasure. The Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And so we would be willing to leave the old life to have him. None of that stuff matters. That's all temporary. So for me, when I'm teaching through a parable, there will be times when I will say, unless Jesus says this means that, I will present both sides, Michael, and say, there are those that suggest this. And I can see why they would say that. And that blesses me. And then there are those that would say this concerning the parable. And they're great commentators and great biblical scholars on both sides. And I present it and allow the Holy Spirit just to kind of make that application to those that are listening. Unless Jesus says, this means that. Very clear. No problem. That's exactly what it says. So that's how I approach those kinds of passages, especially the parables, with a great deal of humility.
Yeah, and so, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I just, as I look at it, I personally believe that God always makes the first move. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. It isn't that because I was seeking God, that God then decided because of my works and my benevolence that he sent his only begotten son. I always look that God makes the first move because that's the nature of God. For God so loved the world. And so because of that, that's why I rest more in that way. However, just as you said, John, I don't disagree that a person could look at it the other way. However, well, I've given up everything to follow Jesus. Oh, really? Oh, really? Have you? That's a little bit disconcerting because, as I look at the Bible, I find that no good thing dwells in the flesh. And as a matter of fact, when I really realize it, I realize that as best I could, I've chosen to follow God, but I still fall down a lot. I've fallen down a lot in my Christian life. There's a point in my Christian ministry where I left the ministry altogether because I realized that I didn't have all my marbles in a row. And so I really believe that because of that, I have to always go back of his everlasting endurance commitment to us because I have found in my life, I can't speak for others, but I have seen failures in my life that say, "Oh, I've given up everything to follow you, Lord." Really? Really? Well, Peter said something like that. We've given up all to follow you. Really? And then you find the disciples when Jesus was crucified, except for John, everybody leaving. I see in myself frailty, but I see in God stability. And I believe in a world where everything is unstable. If you haven't watched the news lately, check that out. I think really, but either way you teach it, Michael, I hope that helps.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much and blessings to you and your ministry and your faithfulness to God's word. Love you guys.
Amen. And I can't remember which well-known quoted Bible scholar, said, Chuck Smith quoted him once. He said that we shouldn't teach on the parables until we've been a Christian for 25 years. I think that a lot of times, because we see things differently as we get older. I remember studying the book of Ecclesiastes when I was in eighth grade, leaning back in a chair in my Sunday school class. And I distinctly remember saying, what kind of a sadist wrote this? And it's not till you get in your 60s and 70s do you realize what Solomon was saying is true. All, for nothing, all is for nothing, unless you commit it to God. Hope that helps. Michael, stay online. We'll get you taken care of. Thanks, John, for being on.
Pleasure, brother.
Look forward to being back with you. And so until then, may the Lord keep you in his love. Keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh.
To receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.